Doesn't wisdom call? Doesn't understanding raise her voice? On the hills and throughout the cities, she cries out, "Women, men, people everywhere, I'm calling out to you. I cry out to all humanity. Whoever wants enlightenment, step this way. Abandon your foolishness that you may live and walk in the path of understanding. You who find me, find life and earn the favor of God. Wisdom has prepared her food, decanted her wine, set her table, inviting anyone who yearns for life to come and eat her bread and drink her wine." This paraphrase of our scripture text today comes from the writers of our series. And like our text, it portrays divine wisdom as a woman who is calling out to us and inviting us to feast at her table. I don't think I realized that God's divine wisdom was personified as a woman until I went to seminary and was sitting in my first semester Hebrew Bible class. I'm certain that I have never once heard a sermon preached on this passage of scripture. But why? Well, yep, exactly. And the writers of this series remind us that since it is common in the church and in many cultures of North America for characteristics of God to be described predominantly using male language, that it can be both challenging and liberating for us to embrace this biblical account of wisdom as a bodily, feminine facet of God. She was with God before creation began. She calls out to humanity to come to her side with authority. She is to be revered as a teacher to all, a role that was often reserved for men. And it is from her that rulers gain the power to govern justly. She offers a feast with bread and wine to anyone who is willing to come and sit at her table. Those who find her find life. End quote. These passages from Proverbs are so lovely. They paint this picture of divine wisdom that is constantly beckoning to us, inviting us to share in all she has to offer. Wisdom, or as she is called in the Greek, Sophia, does not scold us for our ignorance or shame us for our mistakes. Instead, she enthusiastically calls out for us to join her in the more abundant life she has to offer. I love this imagery of Sophia's invitation to wisdom because it is so different than the images of divine wisdom I grew up with. Perhaps it is for you as well. As a child, my church did not emphasize this welcoming invitation to Sophia's table. As I said, I never heard a sermon on it before. Rather, my church reminded me that God's wisdom was always out of reach. Divine wisdom was something to be sought, but something that could never be obtained. At the same time, the quest for divine wisdom seemed to be a kind of quasi-intellectual exercise. There was this message that wisdom was something you had to work hard for, and perhaps if you spent just enough hours reading your Bible or calling out desperately in prayer, maybe you would be rewarded with a small nugget of wisdom or divine insight. If you were lucky, all of your seeking and searching and hungering for wisdom would reward your ravenous appetite with the spiritual equivalent of a handful of goldfish crackers. And we were to rejoice in those meager rations while our spiritual stomachs continued to rumble. Now, I don't know why the church taught that God's wisdom was so far out of reach. Perhaps it was to emphasize the power and mystery of God's thoughts. Maybe it was to keep us humble. as good Mennonites. But perhaps it was to comfort us when we felt that answers were hard to find. It's okay. They're out of reach anyway. Whatever the reason, this rather unempowering message of inaccessible wisdom that is locked away somewhere in God's inaccessible consciousness is far from the message that's given to us here in Proverbs 8 and 9. Proverbs tells us that wisdom, or Sophia, is anything but out of reach. She seeks us out, perhaps before we even begin to seek her. And those who do seek her may find her. She does not stay hidden in her house, but goes out into the streets, to the busy places by the city gates, to the highest point where the most people can see her and hear her. And it is there that she calls out to us, to anyone willing to listen, saying, "Come, visit my house. The door is open to you." Are you foolish or confused? Have you made poor decisions? It doesn't matter. You don't need to earn your place at my table. My home and my door are always open to you. And when we arrive at Sophia's house, it is not just a handful of goldfish crackers and a juice box that we receive. She spent hours, maybe days, preparing a lavish feast of her finest foods so that we can eat our fill. Her table is one of abundance, not of scarcity. I imagine Sophia as that friend or family member whose door is always open and you know that you can stop by whenever you need to talk. That friend who will let you come over to their house unannounced and make you tea or coffee or let you raid the contents of their refrigerator to satisfy your hunger, giving you leftovers or perhaps the fresh food they've been baking. Sophia is there for us when we need her, welcoming us with open arms. But if divine wisdom is always seeking us and extending this invitation to abundance, then why does she seem so elusive sometimes? Sometimes knowing the right thing to do or the next right step seems impossible, and it can feel as though wisdom is playing a game of hide and seek with us rather than shouting to us from the street corners. So why? Well, I think there are a lot of things that compete for our attention, and perhaps wisdom's call can be difficult for us to hear. Her urgent yet gentle invitation is drowned out by the screaming and clamoring of folly trying to get our attention. While wisdom is inviting us to her delicious, nutritious feast, folly screams, "Look at me, look at me. My food may not be nutritious, but I will hand it to you right now. If you fill yourself with my fast food, you don't have to walk to Wisdom's house on the other side of town." There are so many voices of folly in our world trying to win us over with promises of convenience and instant gratification, telling us what we want to hear instead of telling us the challenge that we need. Wisdom often calls us to the hard things, not the easy things. And perhaps this is why sometimes we have trouble hearing her call. Before her voice becomes clear to us, we must open ourselves up to the possibility that wisdom might be calling us to do the most difficult thing instead of the easy thing. Maybe she is calling you to do that thing that deep down you knew you should do but have been avoiding because it seems too overwhelming or too painful to pursue. As I think back on the most conflicted times where I've sought after divine wisdom and felt as though I discovered it, there seems to be a common thread. As I would sit in the unknown, waiting for clarity, for next steps, eventually, sometimes after days or weeks or months, a path would become clear. Sometimes that path involved great risk or difficulty. Sometimes it really was the hardest path. But as I listened deeply to Sophia's inner voice within me, I would feel this strong sense of assurance that no matter the risk or the difficulty or how nervous I felt, this was the path. This was the step that I was to take. And that assurance allowed me to move forward in spite of my anxieties about the future. Verses 15 and 17 of Proverbs 8 remind us that Sophia is also a source of justice. And seeking and doing justice is rarely easy work. Justice creates a better world, more abundant life for all people, especially those who have suffered the most oppression. And while the path of justice that Sophia invites us to walk may be rewarding, it is often not easy. Walking the path of justice in our personal lives might mean finding the courage to respectfully assert our needs in a relationship, to seek counseling, or set boundaries that we need in order to heal. For the church, walking the path of justice means having policies like a child protection policy or a safe sanctuaries policy that help us to protect each other from abuse and then to actually follow them. It could mean standing in solidarity with those who are suffering all around us and among us, in our community, in our church, in our country. It means living like Jesus, who was the true embodiment of divine wisdom. It means calling out injustice when we see it and pointing people to wisdom when we find her. So where do we find the voice of wisdom? I think her voice dwells deep within each of us and within the created world. Proverbs 8 reminds us that wisdom, Sophia, was present at the creation of the world, saying, "When God marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside God like a master worker." Sophia helps to create the world. Perhaps this is why so many of us feel so connected to God when we are out in the woods or in our gardens or in awe of nature. We can sense divine wisdom in the chirping of the birds, in the wind before a storm, in the stars in the sky, or the sprouts bursting forth in our gardens. We sense the presence of God and of divine wisdom in nature, calling us to something beyond ourselves, to a life more abundant and beautiful than we have known. In Pat and my garden at home, there are signs of life bursting forth right now. Daffodils are peeking up through the dirt. Last year's larkspur reseeded and will bring glorious, colorful blooms in a few months. The few violet seeds that I planted last year have spread between the stones in our garden path, promising a blanket of purple blossoms this spring. And as I watch these tiny miracles of life emerge, it's all I can do to keep myself from getting my hands out there in the dirt. I know it's too early, but my spirit is ready to go, ready to create something beautiful. And I have to keep myself from wandering into the seed section of any store because I know that if I do, I will come out with a stack of seeds that is way too big, anticipating the gardening that is to come in a month or two. I imagine wisdom's role in the creation process may have held similar enthusiasm. Perhaps she enthusiastically chose and planted the seeds that would burst forth in lush green foliage, breathtaking flowers, and edible fruits and vegetables in the garden. And as spring approaches, I can almost feel her calling to me, inviting me to join her in this beautiful work of creativity and creation. I imagine Sophia calling out to each of us to be co-creators with her, to use our creative energies, not just to bring justice, but to bring new life to ourselves and to the world. Like colorful murals painted on the side of dull city buildings, the beauty of Sophia surprises us with creativity, creating joyful color where there once was only somber gray. There are countless studies that demonstrate a connection between creative activities and increased mental and physical health. Whether your creative outlet is making music or singing, writing poetry or journaling, building something or remaking something, painting or drawing, baking or cooking, gardening, flower arranging, or something else, simply engaging in a creative act nourishes your soul and can sustain your spirit as well. And I think that when we engage those creative energies, we tap into part of ourselves that is connected with Sophia, the master worker, the creative force of wisdom in our world. And when we do that, perhaps we pave the way for greater understanding and clarity in our lives as well. Wisdom promises us that all who find her find wholeness and abundant life. So, may we seek her, and may we find her in the life of Jesus, in our pursuit of justice, in the wonder of the natural world, in our creative and artistic endeavors, and within the deepest parts of ourselves who know what we truly need to find healing and wholeness. Wisdom is always there, always calling, always wishing the best for you. She has prepared her feast and set her table, and the invitation to her dinner party never expires. She is always seeking you, always calling you, and always inviting you home. Amen.